How much of a role do you feel disinformation plays within the UFO research community?
Well, I'm glad we're devoting a little bit of sort of possibly the end of the show to the question because it is, I think it's something that we need to be acutely aware of. And going back to the beginning of our discussion about the 80s and the 90s, and before that, the military intelligence community all over the world, not just in America, but here in the UK and also in Soviet Russia and Russia today, have used the UFO phenomenon to hide stuff behind. It's incredibly convenient to do that. I'm reading quite an interesting book at the moment called Mirage Men. I don't know whether you've read it. There's
I
also a
haven't read it,
documentary
but
out
I've watched the documentary.
now. Yeah. And it's it details, quite a lot of that activity. But as a as an ordinary reporter for a, a pretty sort of nuts and bolts trade magazine that James Defence Weekly was, I found myself coming up against disinformation at all levels in the course of my career. There was a, a classic, an absolute classic, was when I went to visit the Skunk Works in 1996. And I interviewed Jack Gordon, the CEO of the Skunk Works. We talked about that earlier. And on my way out of the building under heavy escort, I passed by a sort of org map that shows a linear progression of all the Skunk Works aircraft stemming from an aircraft called the XP-80 in 1944, 45. And right up through to then what was the meant to be, or the aircraft that I knew that should be at the top of the list, which was something called Dark Star, which was a UAV that failed. But it wasn't at the top of the list. There was something called Astra on the top of the list. And it looked pokey and pointy and purposeful. And I knew enough about Skunk Works and about aerospace to know that there is no such thing out there called Astra. And I called this out to my escort on the way as we passed out of the entrance hall. And rather like a rather annoying sort of kid, I go, "What's Astra? What's Astra? What's Astra?" And I'm literally sort of given the bums rush out of the building. And like that persistent annoying kid, even when I get back to the UK, I'm emailing. What, did we have email in those days? Probably not. Anyway, I'm faxing them going, "What's Astra? What's Astra?" And they come up with this ludicrous explanation for what Astra is, which is that it was an airliner project that Lockheed studied in the 1970s, which got cancelled. Well, what was it doing at the top of your org chart past the YF-22 and Dark Star? No answer. Like end of conversation. Bye. And I think about this. I write the story up in JDW, but with a sort of rather guarded tone. And it was only many years later, I mean, literally, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I'm looking back over my, I keep all my diaries. I'm looking back over my diaries and I look at when I went to make that visit to the Skunk Works. And guess what? It was April the 1st. It was April Fool's Day. So here is the intelligence community, I've no doubt, having a
Oh
little
my
joke on me.
God.
Yeah. Going, wouldn't it be handy for Cook, who's doing this piece on black world business trends, to be confronted with an org chart that shows something called Astra? Because we know he's been interested in this Aurora bird that James has been writing about for a while. And let's give him a bit of a let's give him a bit of a pointer, a bit of a clue to all of that. Except, of course, was it or wasn't it? And that's the beauty of disinformation. In order for
Misdirection.
disinformation to work, there has to be at least a little bit of truth in there. And to divert momentarily into a topic of the day, was it last week or the week before we had the Calvine UFO picture
Yes,
that
very
appears
interesting situation.
based on some very solid work by David Clark, whom I know, we've met and we've corresponded. He's a very diligent researcher. And I mean, you may want to tell the story, Jay, because you're more on it than I am. But, you know, in essence, it was the discovery of the original photograph, supposedly, of a UFO that appeared over Calvine in Scotland, the middle of Scotland, in Perthshire. And it's photographed by two poachers, supposedly. There's an accompanying aircraft with this diamond-shaped UFO that looks like a Harrier, but it could be maybe some other aircraft type. And this is huge news. It's massive news across the whole Twitter sphere and social media, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's actually much more interesting than it appears.
So, well, this is funny because we were talking earlier on about how, the UK and the MOD has been extremely quiet about the UFO subject all the way through the American government over the last few years being more vocal. So maybe this will start pushing the meter a little bit closer towards home, because this is obviously, something that happened that was shut down by our Ministry of Defense. And so it makes me very curious. Obviously, the guy that brought out the image, or at least kept the image, was a retired RAF official. I think his name was Craig Lindsay. And what made me laugh is that he'd kept that photo in his desk between the pages of a book titled Great Aircraft of the World, which I just thought was a brilliant little, very, very cheeky little nod towards what he was up to. So I think it's fantastic that the image has come out. There's been a lot of debate about what it really is. Obviously, you've got the skeptics saying that it could be a rock in a pond or a mountain coming out of the clouds. I personally feel that these are really far-reaching speculations, but I don't want to say that it's an alien spacecraft. It's a diamond in the sky with a jump jet banking around it. And I do think that there is some form of craft in the air in this image. That's what I personally do believe. I just don't know what it is, whether it's an experimental aircraft, whether it's a UFO. What do you think about it, Nick?
Okay, so let's just look at when the photograph was purportedly taken. It was 1990. I believe it was taken on August the 4th. 2 days earlier, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. Now, I don't believe that that is not insignificant. In other words, I believe it is significant. And for the following reason. The discussion, as I've read it recently, and actually back in the day when this surfaced as an issue, because we perhaps should explain that a photocopy of this picture had appeared in a UK MOD document, a report on UFOs, and it had been touted by Nick Pope and others as having been blown up into a poster. This is the photocopy, and shoved on the wall of is it DI-55? Anyway, the Defense Intelligence Secretariat that was given over to the study of UFOs, populated, I think, by two people or thereabouts. So this picture had gained, some attention. And the fact that it was billed by the MOD, those in the know, as being a really kosher, genuine, the most kosher, genuine picture of a UFO that they had probably ever come across, gave it some real importance. But, if we go back to the discussion at the time, it was August the 4th, 1990, 2 days earlier, Saddam Hussein had invaded Kuwait. The two poachers, supposedly, neither of whom, as far as I'm aware, have come forward, submitted the photographs to the Scottish Daily Record, I think it was. And the Scottish Daily Record elected not to publish any of them, but handed them into the MOD, who then confiscated them. The narrative then goes, of course, they touch base with their American counterparts, who supposedly go ballistic for reasons they don't entirely explain, but the MOD official, the UK MOD officials, take that to mean that it may have shown some secret American technology. Okay, all well and good. Now let's look at the vehicle itself, diamond-shaped. And a lot of people talk about Aurora in the same breath as this picture. You know, was this Aurora, this diamond-shaped vehicle, being buzzed by a Harrier or a Hunter or whatever it was? If you go with the story of the poachers, they say that they watched it for some time, and this is what they had debriefed to the MOD officials as well. This thing had sort of been hovering static in front of them for a while. It made no noise. And then in the end, it shot straight up, disappeared. You know, typical UFO sightings report. But still we get this Aurora association with it. So that makes me think and wonder, because as we discussed at the beginning of all of this earlier, whatever Aurora was or wasn't, and again, no pictures ever came, have ever appeared definitively showing that aircraft. Whatever Aurora was or wasn't, it was an aircraft powered by a relatively conventional engine and working on the basic on the basis of aerodynamics. So how these two things can be compared, a thing that hovers and goes straight up, which points to no known technology, and Aurora, which operates pretty much like a conventional aircraft, except it is pretty exotic, is significant, I think. When I was aerospace editor at Jane's, we covered the Aurora story in some depth. In fact, I have to give due credit to my colleague, Bill Sweetman, again at the time. Bill is now gone off to join the aerospace industry. So he's a great guy, and he really knows his stuff. Bill, one of the stories we covered at JDW in, I think it was in 1992, was the eye testimony of a North Sea oil worker and trained Royal Observer Corps observer, a guy called Chris Gibson, who on his oil platform in the North Sea looked up and saw a triangular-shaped aircraft being escorted by what he thought were, I think it was three or four F-111s, a swing-wing aircraft operated by the Americans out of Lakenheath, I guess, in Suffolk, in the UK, and being tanked by a tanker. Being a Royal Observer Corps observer, Chris Gibson should have known what he was seeing. And he swore that this was nothing he'd ever seen before. Hands the report off to Bill Sweetman. We cover the story in Jane's Defence Weekly, and the Aurora story is off and running. We cover the story some more, and bit by bit, reports of the aircraft, Aurora, this Mark 5 to 8 hypersonic high-flying spy plane to replace the SR-71, is reported operating out of RAF Macrahanish in the West Scottish Highlands. It's actually on the Mull of Kintyre. So suddenly we have 2 days after Saddam Hussein invades Kuwait, a UFO report popping up linked to the Aurora story. And yeah, that's not suspicious. Well, here's what, I'm not saying this happened, but if I were a disinformation guru, here's what I would be up to. So Aurora is real. I think there's enough evidence to justify the fact that something was built. Just before he retired from the US Air Force as head of research and development, a guy called General George Mulner gave me an interview. And the topic of conversation, let me think, when was this? This was in 1998, I think. The topic of conversation, for the record, was black programs. That's what I came to the Pentagon to talk to him about. And we had a really good discussion, a long discussion. The subject of Aurora comes up. And I say, come on, General, it's your last day in office. You can tell me, was Aurora, is Aurora real? He didn't say, but he gave enough hints to say that between the retirement of the SR-71, which was around about that time, 1990, and the emergence of a new generation of digital spy satellites that gave real-time data, or that would give real-time data to people on the ground, there was a gap. There was a hole in the intelligence picture, and it needed to be filled. And Aurora, not that General Mulner said this, but the evidence spoke to it, Aurora filled that gap. But it was expensive. And therefore, having served its purpose through the development of a number of what they called in the trade operational prototypes, it was then taken out of service, having filled that gap. Guess when that gap was? That gap was during the Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait, 1990-1991. So if I were a disinformation guru, knowing that Aurora was operating out of RAF Macrahanish and that it was going to be appearing over Scotland rather inconveniently during that mammoth intelligence buildup of what was happening over Kuwait and Iraq in August 1990, what would I do? I would put out some really confusing information about UAP, UFOs, even if I knew that it wasn't going to come out at the time, because sure as hell it was going to come out later. And I think, therefore, with Calvine, whilst there may be something genuine there, for me, there's something not right about it. There is something really not right about that picture. The fact that we've got a couple of poachers who haven't come forward, there's the odd nature of the Daily Record not having run the story, but having handed the pictures to the MOD. That's kind of curious. But I think, you know, oh, and then of course, here's what probably happened afterwards, which is that genuinely the people in DI 55 get these photographs, come to them from the Daily Record, and they go, what's this? We've got to investigate it. Touch base with their American colleagues. Aurora was such a compartmentalized sap in that it was so restricted information-wise that these guys then become prone to a phenomenon known as blowback, which I'm sure you know in the intelligence world is when you put a bit of disinformation out there or a bit of information out there, it swirls around in the world of intelligence and counterintelligence and eventually comes back to you as something sort of quasi-recognizable, but not really, from how you originally put it out. So I think this thing came back to British intelligence. They don't know what it is. They put it to the Americans. The Americans don't know what it is either at the level that DI 55 was talking to. But suddenly someone goes, holy shit, this is all about Aurora. So we're going to make a sort of, you know, big fuss about it. And I think part of that fuss was genuine by people who got spooked that the Aurora story might come out. But I think also part of it was just flammed up by people who genuinely thought that they'd tripped up over some top secret piece of American technology. Well, it was, but I don't think the technology that we're talking about or the real story is held in that diamond-shaped UFO. I think that was cover for what was really going on with an aurora basing in and out of RAF Macrahanish. And that would have been intensely secret.